This is a stand-up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013. Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kat Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Hey, what's going on, folks? Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down every week to tell you the things that make you say the thing that the podcast is called. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kat Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden.
Kath is calling us remotely from somewhere in, I think, one of the poles. I don't know.
Yeah, just the log cabin that I was born in.
Yeah.
We just got running water this year. Yeah. It was very exciting.
Everything's made of logs. Yeah, like the phone is wood. It's just all wood.
I had to whittle this phone to call you guys.
Yeah, it's actually, Barbadoro is actually Kath's stage name. I don't know if people know this. She's actually, her real last name is Kaczynski. She's actually the Unabomber's daughter.
So I told you not to tell people.
Yeah.
Sorry. You could make a portmanteau, like Kaczynski. That's a fun.
I try to keep that under wraps. This is really going to hurt my show business career. Yeah.
Have either of you guys ever legitimately whittled? Like, I for real whittled.
I was going to say,
I feel like of the three of us, you are most likely to have whittled.
That's correct.
And it was in New Hampshire. I used to go up to a cabin in New Hampshire with my parents, and they'd take away my Game Boy and stuff, so I'd legit sit on a deck and whittle as a young boy.
Eli with, like, a corncob pipe.
Yeah, a little corncob pipe filled with bubble gum.
What did you whittle?
Like, little animals and stuff.
Aww.
You know. Fun little, fairly long animals that I didn't have to do a lot of shaping.
A lot of worms? You whittled a lot of worms?
Yeah, I whittled a lot of worms and snakes.
Well, yeah, that's like pretty much what there is to do up here because the Wi-Fi doesn't work and there's no cell service.
We were trying to get the, we tried a bunch of different ways to get internet audio because we wanted to try to make it a little bit better than the over the long distance phone line. You were plugged into an Ethernet cord into like a tree, or how does it work up there?
I was pedaling a bicycle that was powering the router, and I just got too tired. So now I'm using a landline for the first time in probably a year.
That Looney Tunes song was definitely playing the like. I want to know what the name of that song is, and I've tried to find out so many times, but I can't figure out any way to Google. The noise.
Somehow your cabin had two smokestacks alternating on top during this process.
Just belching.
Yeah, they were like puffing out smoke like animatedly. Yeah.
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 That was what was happening. And then, but like, on the really... bright side, I've had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so your Thanksgiving is still going on, basically,
it's
right
still,
now.
I have a week-long Thanksgiving. I'm not getting back till Wednesday. It's pretty great.
What's the... So what have you been doing?
Well, I've been having my parents pay for everything, so that's the main reason it's nice.
That's
is because
tight.
I don't have to spend money. They have a lot of really nice, because we're Italians, so we have like some high quality cold cuts up here. I've been eating a lot of sandwiches. I'm going to come back and you guys are going to be disgusted by how much weight I've gained.
I find it very hard to like I can't like combine in my head the bad stereotypical idea of like living in New Hampshire that I have and the bad like Italians eating cold cuts idea. Like it's getting mashed up in my head.
Hey, that's a freaking compost over here. What are you doing?
It's the worst of both worlds. Just imagine a libertarian like gun nut micronation having Guidos. That's what it is.
It's great.
You gotta end the Fed, Maro.
Just splitting salamis on a stump with a hatchet long ways. Just chopping it up. Just like, with the fucking tapping trees. Like, oh, that's a sweet maple syrup.
We tap the trees for marinara sauce for that sweet gravy.
Oh, yeah.
But what do you do?
Tomato trees.
You have to really get used to the cold to be able to wear the sleeveless undershirt that weather, though.
It's all weather. There's just my dad is just out grilling in a wife beater, just all year round.
That's a shirt my dad calls, going back to the old days, Bay Ridge. He calls it a guinea t-shirt. That is a true fact.
That's just a slur and a shirt's name.
I think it's better than wife beater because it doesn't involve anyone getting harmed.
That is more acceptable than wife beater for sure.
That's like, you can't say that. That's not allowed.
No, it's for some reason it's allowed now. It's
I
fine.
Feel like intra-European racism is generally pretty funny, you know, especially yeah. among friends. It's not something that really is too frowned upon. I don't know. That's,
yeah.
If somebody calls me a what am I going
to
do? Get mad? Oh, what do you mean
be,
you're calling me a, you know.
You yeah. need to be proud of your white race.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
Yeah, remember we made the podcast happened, all right last week.
The best thing that happened over Thanksgiving that I feel like sums up like my New England Guido family is that my uncle very sincerely said that Gronk should play Jack Reacher. He was like
Rob Gronkowski
should play
Reacher.
Jack Reacher.
Go ahead.
Just because Tom Cruise is too short. He called Tom Cruise a little squirt, and he said Gronk should be Jack Reacher because that's who he imagines when he reads the books.
But you got to have – I feel like that's missing the good Boston accent. It's just like, listen, kid, Gronk, Jack Reacher. Just the name Jack Reacher in a Boston accent is great. Jack Reacher.
He's, you know, I mean, so he's a Jack. The Jack Reacher heads are very upset. I had never read any of the books, so I didn't have any really preconceived. I thought it was funny because – yeah, a character is famously tall being played by Tom Cruise. But actually, the first Jack Reacher movie is kind of awesome, I'm going to have
good.
To say.
My,
not according to my uncle.
Wow. My mom is a big-time Jack Reacher fan. And she said that she also doesn't like Tom Cruise. Like, hasn't liked him for a long time. I think he, like, cheated on his wife at some point. And my mom was done with Tom Cruise.
cheated on his wife with some sort of alien surface.
Yeah.
Not he doesn't have human sex.
Yeah. With a perfectly smooth silver cube. the thing is that apparently in the books, like, Jack Reacher is like a massive dude. He's like, he's probably supposed to be like what, like 6'5" and he's supposed to be huge.
Yeah, it's because he can reach stuff. That's why his name is Reacher.
They call him the big Reacher over here.
Wingspan.
But there's one line in the movie that I guess is just like was in the original script from before they knew who they were going to cast for it and knew it would be Tom Cruise because. There's a part where like the FBI is chasing him and they walk into this motel that Jack Reacher's staying at and the FBI guy's like, looking for somebody. And the motel's like, well, what does he look like? This is exactly how their voices sound in the movie.
Sure.
And they're like, we're looking for the kind of guy that looks like he could take your head off with one punch. And the motel employee's like, oh, Tom Cruise. Yeah. It's like no way anyone would ever look at Tom Cruise and be like.
Tom Cruise makes it work, man. I don't care. Tom Cruise is whenever Tom Cruise is running in a movie, no one ever looks like they're working harder or doing anything in their life than when Tom Cruise is running. It's
just on a treadmill.
I used to make fun of Tom Cruise a lot and be like a nut, but for some he like the later Mission Impossibles, Edge of Tomorrow. I don't know, he's good. I know he has slaves and all that stuff or whatever. Yes. Not ideal, but he kicks ass. I don't know. He's really good at being
sure.
a movie star. You know, I don't know. That's
because he's a psychopath.
Yeah,
why he's good at occupying other roles. Because he's a dead man with shark eyes.
He has that one tooth that's in the middle of his head.
Yeah,
you guys ever see that?
Oh, it's so creepy. Once you notice that, you can't unsee it.
Yeah, I've seen what people do on the internet, like pictures of like diagrams of like the golden ratio drawn over it and all this like. That he has. If you don't know, just look up a picture of Tom Cruise, and you'll notice that he kind of has this one. He just has a center tooth.
Well, he got his teeth like totally redone when he hit a certain because in Outsiders he has like garbage teeth when he was like
really
you know, yeah,
I didn't know
he,
that
when he was like I don't his real name is Thomas Mapother and his cousin is the guy that played Ethan in Lost.
Okay,
who
was I didn't one know
of the,
that
was
either.
One of the others whose name is something Mapother. And I think Outsiders was like one of his first major movies, and he has like really fucked up teeth in it to the point that it's
damn,
like.
Patty, you know a lot about Tom Cruise.
I know a lot about Tom Cruise. That's of no use to anyone.
Yeah, there's a couple people that have.
It's big for me.
This is a perfect example for me to bring up for the third to fourth time. Ben Stiller's old weird teeth.
Yeah,
they get them yanked out and get new ones put in.
Yeah, I mean that's what you got to do. But somebody, I don't know.
But
if
Tom Cruise was like, just give me one right in the
just
middle.
Give me like, yeah, I want to be able to open a tin can like in a cartoon.
Yeah. Do that. I want to be able to fall and hook onto the side of a cliff by my tooth.
Be like an old prospector. That's what I want to be like.
Just like a beaver. Tom Cruise can chew down a tree in 3 seconds flat. I've seen
it. Oh, my God.
100%.
He could do it. That's the thing.
No one has ever worked harder in their life.
If somebody did that challenge to him, have you seen that Scientology video where it's like if you see somebody pull over on the side of the road or in a car crash, you go over and help because you're like a Scientology genius and you know you can help them. He's operating on a different plane than everyone else.
I thought you were going to say, he's like the jaws of life where he cuts through the car door with his fucked up tooth.
No, the jaws have to open out though. That's not going to help. Yeah.
Just, hey folks, Tom Cruise here.
It's like, oh no, he bit the fuel line.
Yeah. He's the jawline of life.
And that's the end of Tom Cruise. He bit into the fuel line of a burning car.
I wish just once somebody be like, oh no, Tom Petty died? What happened? So it was like he bit into a live electrical wire.
That's how Tom Petty died?
What the fuck? Why was Tom Petty doing that? Like, I don't know. I guess he was a weird guy.
Rock and roll, man. Famous people are different than everyone else.
Yeah.
So it's like Krusty. He's like, I'm in free bass and moon rocks. Just to get to normal.
That's like that guy who died that, it was sad. It was what's his name? Anton Yelchin, right?
Yeah.
He got caught.
He like ran himself over.
He got ran over by his own car.
Yeah.
Yeah, he like got out of the car and went to his mailbox and the car like rolled back and killed him like some sort of bad, like, it's like that Maximum Overdrive movie. What's that bad
Stephen
King
movie? Final Destination.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought you were gonna talk about David Carradine or something, and I was like, it's not that sad. It's pretty funny. I mean, it's sad that he's dead, but that's just a plug for the best ever New York Post headline that I've ever seen, which was the day after they found out he was at Hung Fu. That was
tremendous. I love that. That is, I really am not a pun person. Like, I really don't like puns most of the time, but for some reason, when it's in a headline, I fucking love it. Like, my favorite one ever that I saw 2 years ago that I still I'm going to tell you now, and you're not going to care, and I'm going to be like, it's so great, is in Austin, because Austin's where Whole Foods based, the local Austin paper had a headline that said, Whole Foods stocks dip. Genius.
Oh, no.
Genius. So good.
Shelby, if you go ahead and hang up on that call. That's
Dude, I was working on
this time in the woods
Brian,
is not
I was working on a
positive.
TV show with Brian Garr when that came out, and you better believe I yelled that at people all day until they, like, left me alone in a room.
Cass, like, come on, the bear is sitting up here with me, laughed. All the forest creatures, they love it.
Yeah, that's, like, how a genuine mental break would start. You'd be like, all right, Kath, very funny. Could you please do the work you're doing?
Yes.
Whole food stock dip.
I was so excited.
You get it? Like food dip? You get it?
It's like dip, but also their stocks are down. It's great.
There was a history of the New York Post or a coffee table book of like headlines from the Post, because the Post is the best source of this type of stuff.
Oh, my God. The Post is, it's like that John Mulaney bit about all things they call people. Bozos and
they have the jiggle joint is what they always call a strip club, which is a classic.
Amazing.
But the book was called, and this is a real headline based on a real news story, Headless Body Found in Topless Bar, which is just tremendous.
The classic.
That's quite a, what a town. What a,
they've had that in their back pocket. They're like, I tell you what, as soon as somebody gets decapitated at a titty bar.
Well, it'll be like the last season of The Wire. It'll be like a reporter doing the crimes.
Too. What about decapitated? Well, is that even a pun? I just spent 6 hours on a bus.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I took 6 hours to get back. The Thanksgiving was nice. I went down to D.C. and saw my folks and had a delicious dinner and did some shows down at Big Hunt, which is great. If anybody's in D.C., I highly recommend the underground comedy shows at Big Hunt. I went and did those. It was very fun. And then sat in a bus for 6 hours. It was not good.
Did you see any of those clowns in Congress when you were down there? Did you give them a piece
of
your mind?
I tell you what, I saw that Trump fella. I said, hey, buddy. And I gave him the old bird. Flip him the old bird. My mom does that. They're like, we drive past the vice president lives. And she's like, every time I drive by here, I flip him off. I'm just like, yeah, you know, you got to. But
that's cute.
Good. I was celebrating.
My mom
Blade.
Has a resist bumper sticker now. That's new. So
#resist.
That's how she's flipping everyone off. She's
is it
brave.
I feel like a real resist bumper sticker would be like way too long and like convoluted. It
just bumper, bumper sticker just says, sir, sir.
Yeah, sir. It's just, it's an at reply to Trump.
I beg to
is.
Differ, sir. Hello. Please respond.
It's Mueller time. It's like, all right.
Ooh, he's going down.
Love to cheer on the FBI guys, right? Just like Die Hard.
Lock,
right.
Lock him up, sir. Sir. Yeah, they all like act like just somebody in like the 50s who just had a cab stolen. Sir, sir.
Well, everyone's just, I figured this out. Like it occurred to me. Everyone that's in those replies is just doing Olbermann. Like, they're all doing, like, the indignant Olbermann.
Yeah, they totally are.
Which everyone makes fun of, so I don't know what happened where all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, now it's good, because
What's that weird thing he does on GQ where he's, like, reading directly from papers, but obviously, like, he's, like, he's going through papers at, like, a sheet a second. He's just, like, tossing them aside.
He's doing, like, the Letterman thing where the paper is loosely important to what's going on.
Yeah.
Hey, Pat, how was your Thanksgiving? Well, mine was pretty good.
No one asked you.
I didn't leave my parents' place. I didn't go outside except to walk the dog for 4 full days, I want to say.
Sweet boy Willie.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty powerful stuff. I watched probably, I'd say, lowball 12 episodes of Fixer Upper. That's what we do now.
Classic.
Little HGTV.
Did you watch any Bladesgiving?
Yeah, we got to talk Blades. Yeah. Happy Bladesgiving to the What a Time Nation.
I
did
not. Is
that what we're going to start calling them?
I thought when you guys mentioned this, I thought you were talking about like Wesley Snipes Blade, and I was like, oh, hell yeah, what? There's like, what channels? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Bladesgiving, it's just Blade Trinity was the first rated R movie I ever saw. I snuck into Blade Trinity.
That movie sucks big time. It's too bad.
Blade, yeah. I thought it was pretty cool.
Blade 2 rules. Blade is good. Blade 2 rules.
Look, Blade
2
I don't
is
care about Blade. We are not talking about Blade. We are talking about Bladesgiving, okay?
No, Bladesgiving. Anybody doesn't know, there's a fantastic show on History Channel called Forged in Fire where just like big nerds make swords, and it's the best shit around.
And Eli and I are huge fans, and I was so grateful to the History Channel for doing an entire marathon of Forged in Fire on Thanksgiving, calling it Bladesgiving. I thought it was the best programming thing because, like, it doesn't matter what your politics are, you want to watch people make swords.
100%.
And especially, I feel like dads are tough, you know? This is a show made to pacify a dad.
Yeah, I liked it. What was it, like, Vrunt? They're treating him, put it on, and his dad stopped like a mouse in a glue trap. I was like, oh, what is this?
Yeah, shout out to Vrunt for pointing out the dangers of Forged in Fire for dads getting caught unawares. But that's what I did on Thanksgiving mostly. I made everybody watch Forged in Fire.
Yeah, that was I had the mark of it. My Bladesgiving was the mark of a true Forged in Fire fan where I didn't end up watching that much of it because I'd already seen most of the episodes, some of them more than once. So I was like, oh, I don't know.
No, this one?
Yeah.
I did make my mom and sister watch most of Fast Five last night.
What did they think?
Multiple pointing out of like little plot holes. Like, wait, hang on. How did they meet up? They were all running around the favelas. Like, and it's okay. You need to just accept. And you know, one time when they jumped off the train, it's like, oh, really? It's okay. Can we not get into the just accept that they're all basically superheroes and it doesn't matter. This movie's about family. The important thing here is family.
La familia.
And then like I was sitting there and then my dad came out and was like, are we getting ready for bed or what? Cause he's going to take Willie in. And my mom was like, no, we got to watch the end of the movie. And I was like, that's a weird endorsement. And then I was like, well, how much more is left? And I was like, looks like an hour. Like it was on commercial. It was on Spike, I think. And my mom was like, oh, never mind. I'm not watching the rest of this. So good enough to, if she thought it was like 20 minutes left, watch the end, but not enough to watch an hour.
That is a ringing endorsement from a mom.
She watched like two hours with commercials of it. So, you know, she got to the point where they were about to start the big run, you know?
Why isn't there a scene where they all go to a La Familia pizzeria? Like one of
famous
those
familia.
Yeah. And they all go there and eat a family pizza.
Nothing's ever going to be as important as the people in this room.
Yeah.
Two large pepperoni, please.
Also, why is, I don't know what commercial it is, but Vin Diesel's doing voice work now? And that's not like...
He's Groot. I don't know. He's, you know...
I guess so.
He's got a good voice.
Groot doesn't even say words. He just says Groot.
He's got a good voice.
He has a
great voice.
Do you blame him for cashing in?
I just think it's like, no, I don't blame him for catching it, but it's like such a unique voice that it's like not even, Like, right. I can't even, exactly, I can't even remember what the commercial was for, because the whole time I was like, is that fucking Vin Diesel? He just, like, sounds like, you know, somebody, like, mixing.
Somebody who's gargled glass for
yeah,
a second.
Yeah, just somebody, like, mixing rocks and milk in a bucket with, like, a broom handle. Just like, this is the car that will take to the, I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Usually it's
something. It's funny, because I was in a show once, we did Fast Five for Master Pancake, and we would all do Vin Diesel, and it's amazing how quickly it turns into Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah,
it's very, it's a continuum.
Those are all, it's like where your muscles just get so swollen that they like crush your voice box.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't say, just like there's too much like the reverberations are all weird in your throat because it's filled with just like straight up, like, you know, muscle.
It's like it's funny with those commercials where you get like celebrity voiceovers. Yeah, you're right. Usually it's not intrusive. It's like you're watching an Infinity ad and it's like, is that Patrick Dempsey? Like, what is
right,
that?
Right.
Yeah. As opposed to like, yeah, if you know immediately, or like in Japan where they have those ads that celebrities used to be able to do because they would there was no internet, so they could just get like $1 million for a weird like canned coffee commercial.
Yeah.
Where they're like running around like, you know, fighting aliens or something, and it's like, hey, and now everyone obviously knows, but those ads would be very strange to watch. It's like, what is this like AWOT, like, you know, like number one movie star doing in a like bizarre
a Nescafe commercial.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is it. It's a Dodge Charger, which, to be fair, Vin Diesel is the human version of a Dodge Charger.
Well, yeah.
Are we going to listen to it? That's Vin Diesel, just car sounds.
Gas are loud. You're fearless. You're unhinged. Everyone in the world deems too wild and restless.
Actually, ain't it?
No, it isn't. This is basically just a Fast and Furious scene.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Dodge Charger.
This at least makes sense. Those McConaughey ads make no sense compared to this.
I just think it's like Vin Diesel, his whole thing, I feel like that's enough of Vin Diesel's voice. But
you embarrass me.
Like, Vin Diesel's best roles, like, he always is best in something that is, like, there has to be an element of camp to it. And so, like, to have it do this very self-serious voiceover.
Last Witch Hunter, baby.
Dude, you know Last Witch Hunter is based on, so I love Vin Diesel for, I'm like making fun of his voice work, but I like him. He's like a huge D&D guy. He's been playing D&D forever.
Yeah.
Last Witch Hunter is loosely based on his own Dungeons & Dragons character.
What?
He's been playing for like, he's been playing one character for like 16 years.
And
it's a witch hunter, and he like made a movie about his D&D character.
Vin Diesel might be the most earnest man in the world.
Like, he really is. Have you seen his Facebook page?
The karaoke he does, it's fucking
insane.
Yeah,
he does
karaoke. What is he saying?
Earnestly singing.
He did like that Kygo Selena Gomez song, It Ain't Me. Do you know that song?
Yeah.
He did a remix with him, like a duet, where they like spliced him in.
That's beautiful.
And it's like, he cannot sing, but I have it on my phone. It rules.
Dude, Vin Diesel.
Yeah, he is maybe the most earnest person on earth.
He's like the weird kid from your middle school, but with $1 million.
Yeah.
He's like making
a ton of money, and like he was weird and no one talked to him, so he went to the gym every day.
Right. He turned into a, like, he basically is like a fire hydrant now, because he's not a tall man.
Yeah.
Which is why those stare downs with The Rock are extremely funny still. Because it's like, you guys are almost eye to eye, which means you're standing on how many crates right now?
Yeah.
What is the...
That's like, there's this, my, like, him and The Rock and stuff is like this, my friend John Trevor, is like the best thing about it. He's like, if you want to fuck The Rock, you probably want to fuck most cars. Like, that's what it is. Just like a pile of jackhammers. We love you, Vin Diesel.
Friend come on the podcast,
pod.
Vin
yeah,
Diesel.
Come on. Yeah. Come on the podcast.
Always,
Vin
Diesel. Always welcome, Vin.
Our door is open.
Can
to
you imagine that, like, a D&D game live broadcast with Vin Diesel?
Yeah,
that's the dream.
That movie was good. That movie had like a John Wick kind of vibe to it.
Last Witch Hunter?
Yeah,
I'm gonna watch it. I never saw it.
All right. So, well, before we get started, I want to thank you guys for holding things down last week when I was stuck in that Thai prison. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
No problem. I told you shouldn't have tried to smuggle heroin.
I didn't know. This guy offered me like $10,000 to take his suitcase across the border. I didn't think why would I think there was something wrong? You know, I mean, in retrospect,
yeah,
I should have remembered. I should have remembered the plot of that movie, Broke Down Palace, which is one of my favorite movies. And that is,
you'd think you would have learned the main lesson from Broke Down Palace.
Yeah. You know, I just was more, I'm just more of a Claire Danes fan in general, so that was kind of more what I was focused on. But I should have really been more concerned about what they were, what they suffered.
Yeah, they pulled out all of Patty's fingernails. It's gross as fuck.
Yeah, well, I do that.
It's really gross.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, though. Like, they do that to me, but it's like, that hurts as much. Like, I mean, I bite my nails. I don't know if anybody else does, but like, when you get like a bad one, you go a little too deep. That's basically all it feels like when they pull them out. So it's not that big a deal.
So what you're saying is it's nothing compared to the pain of missing the podcast.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I listened to the show.
what did you think?
No, it was good. I liked, I was telling Eli, I liked the occasional waves of like weird hostility that you guys had to walk back. But that was funny.
Yeah, we just get riled
up. I felt no hostility.
No,
I'm
but
just a very intense person.
You know, but just like was, that sounded mean. It wasn't meant to be mean. Like that, like that, like it, just, that's just
it absolutely was like, yeah, like podcast dad was gone, and it's that thing of like, you know, when like you it'd be like somebody and their brother, and then all of like it just starts to be a fight for no reason. You're like, I'm sorry, never mind.
But. Yeah. So thank you for that. It was good. I'm back. I'm told that we paid off enough people that I won't get called back there for trial or anything like that. So
congrats,
we should be
man.
Good. So
you're going to get extradited by Thailand.
That's correct. Yeah. So should we get started this week? We've got a lot
Let's
to talk
do
about.
It.
Let's do it.
Number five.
All right. Number five is a hot one, folks. Fresh off the press from Slate.com. The publication we all know and love. This stupid article went up today that's talking about, it's one of these things that's like trying to discuss, it's not Slate, it's Business Insider.
Yes, no, it was,
oh,
it's,
like
it's
through,
a Slate,
okay.
It's a Slate repost.
Yeah. It's one of these articles that's like someone just, they do something and they think what they do is very interesting and cool, so they try to couch it and present it as some sort of like life advice column. Anyways, the title of the article is Stop Dressing Like a Slob When You're Traveling by J. Brian Lauder, because of course it's a man with three names.
My initial reaction to this before reading anything else is just fuck off, nerd. That's
yeah.
immediately what I would have to
this
say.
Is
to
this is super.
Yeah.
This is like this is almost the equivalent of like that nerd who's like, oh, real gentleman wears tie, like shows up,
right.
just showing up to high school in like a like his dad's suit jacket and was like, oh, sorry, I'm a little too classy for the ladies here, like that sort of shit.
Rolling backpack.
Rolling backpack and your dad's tie.
Sure.
Just, you know, yeah, like just tie and suit and then Converse All-Stars at the bottom of it. Just, you know, with a sack of Magic cards hanging out of his back pocket. It's a good choice. Magic, great game. Yeah, and it's just like there's an article, but you don't need to read it because it's not important.
It's just him,
yeah,
saying like everyone should try to look a little nicer. It's part of the social contract of traveling. Like, traveling is a privilege. You should dress up for it or whatever. But it's like, the thing that annoys me is like, if you think this is just something that everybody should accept and do and like that it's the bare minimum, why are you congratulating yourself for it? If this is like how everyone should be, then everybody else is failing and you're succeeding and you shouldn't need to say anything. But actually, no one gives a shit and everyone wants to be comfortable on a plane and everyone in America is fat and so we want to wear stretchy pants when we have to sit down for
a long
time.
Also, they treat you like shit and you're basically like in a cattle car anyway when you're getting on a plane. So, who are we dressing up for again? I don't really understand.
Also, like, I don't know about everybody else, but I, something about plane travel, I fucking sweat like a demon and I just like get so gross on a plane no matter what I'm wearing. That, like, it doesn't matter. I could go in a full tuxedo, and by the end of it, my hair would be, like, matted down, and I'd just be, like very sweat tuxedo, and be like, I'm looking sharp.
You'd be Neil Hamburger.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, but now I just want you to do that.
Yeah, that's correct.
That would be really funny.
I mean, get in a tuxedo. I would love to just take a flight
and just
in a tuxedo
be
for no reason.
Soaking wet.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, I haven't looked up what J. Brian Lauder looks like, but or what he sounds like. But I want to read a little passage here.
What I think
his voice sounds like.
I'll make you a real life bet, not that much money, that if you Google him, one of the top pictures are going to be him in a bow tie.
Okay. I'm not going to bet because I think I would lose the bet.
Okay.
So here's
gotcha.
I'll do the voice before I say what I think he looks like. Okay. Among the cavalcade of pajama pants, tracksuits, nightgowns, painting rags, and ill-fitting sweatshirts that one encounters in the world's terminals and stations these days, the competently dressed individual stands apart as a beacon of civilized life, an island of class amid a swamp of schlumps. So I'm picturing like a... what you would call a dandy, I guess, or a fop.
He has a giant lollipop.
One of those guys in like a powdered, he has makeup on.
He's wearing white pancake powder rouge and licking a giant lollipop.
He's wearing a barrister
and
wig.
He's fanning himself the whole time, and he faints at some point. I basically just did Hedonism Bot's voice from Futurama, but I'm picturing a guy who like fucking Beethoven ass. Yeah. So that's what I'm imagining this guy
he
looks like.
He doesn't walk. He does like a gallop, and you know, it's like clip clop, clip clop.
We are here in the salon.
When he gets on the plane, instead of like, you know, like a regular pillow that somebody might have, it's like one of those very ornate tasseled like red velvet pillows, and he puts it down on the seat before he sits down.
He fluffs it and like a single feather comes out.
All right, I'm gonna look him up on Google Images right now. J. Brian Crowder. It turns out this is actually the real name of the, you guys remember the golden-voiced homeless man? That's interesting. I didn't expect. It's actually the same guy. No, I can't tell because the first picture I don't think is him.
It's a
ghost. LinkedIn for Brian Crowder. It's a black guy in a limo, which I guess could be him.
That would be wild if that was him.
But I'm guessing
the guy who thinks we need to dress nice at the airport only drives a limo. That's his next article. Stop driving casual cars.
Limousine.
I got the steering wheel extra long so I can sit in the back and drive.
What if it was a pen name, because this person knew they would get destroyed and it's probably Josh Barrow's pen name.
Probably.
Although that's a thing he would do on his own, right? That seems like he's not embarrassed about that. David Roth referred to the best takedown of Josh Barrow's whole thing is David Roth wrote about him having the he's on the weird Pris beat, is what they describe him, which I think is extremely accurate. Nothing's wrong with eating pizza with a knife and a fork, people, okay? You know, that kind of thing.
I feel bad for whatever Slate employee had to transcribe this from the goatskin vellum that it was written on, scratched out with a quill, sealed with the wax. Ooh!
You can actually only read it when there's harpsichord playing in the background.
He sent it to the Slate offices by carrier pigeon, and they had to type it in.
But even his pigeon has makeup on. It's like a fancy little pigeon.
Pigeon's wearing a top hat, and he doffs the hat and then gives them the...
He looses the pigeon out the window and turns around, and he puts... There's just a small boy, and he just turns his Victrola back on. He's like, "Continue the dance, Thomas!" And just watches a little boy, like, pirouette. That's what he does. Anyways, he should have his own airline.
His freelance check was actually just a pile of silver. That's what he got. He didn't get it.
No, it was a boon from the king.
Like how Eli's fancy voice is just the guy from The Simpsons who goes, "Yes?
No." All my voices are just Crib from The Simpsons.
I had a stroke.
Yeah, my Crib, Jasper Beardley's my old man voice, and that guy's my... you know, I just Crib voices from The Simpsons.
Hit me with a moon pie.
Hey,
what a time to be alive.
I was ahead of you. I was already going when you said
that. Oh, man.
Yeah. We'll do it again.
Same page.
Moon pie. What a time to be alive.
All right, before we continue roasting this guy, as fun as it is, let's keep the goalpost moving here, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right.
Number 4.
Is that a saying? Keep the goalpost?
No, probably not. Look, I couldn't finish the sentence.
It's a negative
thing. What sport has a mobile goalpost?
Well,
want to move the goalpost. If you move the goalpost, it means you're like changing the objective of your debate.
Well, that's how you win arguments, though.
Like right now?
That's actually what
I think you're moving the goalpost of this discussion.
That's actually what I meant
to
say. Right, that's why I meant to say it. See, this is how it works. Now I sound like a smart guy. I just did it.
You're one step ahead of me, Patty.
Right,
number
well.
4 is about this lovely couple who are having a child, and they're naming their child after Olive Garden because they love Olive Garden so much. Their last name is Garton, Garton, and they're going with Olivia Garton. They already got a custom onesie in the Olive Garden font for their child. I want to like them, but then I saw a picture of them, and the guy has, like, a crazy Amish beard and was wearing Ray-Bans that were two different colors, and I'm like, mm-mm.
What do you mean two
You're
different
too zany.
Colors?
I don't enjoy this.
Like, lenses?
Kath is multicolored. She's had enough. I think that there's a way to have done this, it is a nice story. You know, I think we talked about this, you know,
You were saying the story though is that they ate every night at Olive Garden for like
2 months, I want to say, when they were,
said it's because they were broke, but Olive Garden isn't that cheap.
But maybe they got one of those unlimited passes. Wasn't that a thing they were giving out for a while?
Unlimited what? Like a fucking fast pass? Like at Six Flags?
No, they had Olive Garden was selling.
It's like a gas card, but just for Olive Garden.
Olive Garden was selling some kind of thing, bucks. And they were limited, and it sounded like, all right, do I try to get this? I don't even like Olive Garden, but it's too good a deal to pass up.
I will say this. You guys have lived in New York for a considerable period longer than I have. In most places, Olive Garden is not that expensive. In New York, Olive Garden, all those places. We were talking about this last time, Eli. I don't know if it was on the podcast or not, but like you went to Guy Fieri's restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, all those places that cater to tourists in New York are crazy expensive.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I know it's crazy expensive here, but, like, in general, most Olive Gardens, even if they're not in, like, a major metropolis, like, they're basically the price of any, like, chain restaurant.
Yeah, but you can go get your, like, unlimited salad and breadsticks and eat that pretty cheap and just, like, fill up on bread.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, if your money situation is that I don't understand that you can only go to Olive Garden. Like, I feel like you can go to Olive Garden every night.
You should also be naming your child Waffle House.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking too. I was like, you go to Waffle House.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Waffle
Name your
House.
Child Waffle House, maybe Denny. Like Olive Garden,
Denny.
You're not broke.
Yeah.
I mean, so they named her first name Olivia, last name Garden.
It's the thing is, like, it's fine. Like,
it's
fine. No, no, no. Like, she can go her whole life, and you'd only have to, like, she'd have to tell somebody.
They're going to know because it's in the Daily Mail. You know, it's all over the internet
at
one point.
Like, when she goes to school and it's roll call, somebody's saying, like, Olivia Garden, everyone's like, you named that because of fucking Olive Garden, you stupid bitch.
I mean, they say there's some, apparently some other, I mean, there must be some other connection to Olivia, but I mean, like, just call her, like, I don't know, like, Lauren, Olivia, why not do the middle name, right? Because then you kind of sneak it in.
So I read, for my day job, I read undergraduate, like, college applications, and so I see, like, all these kids' full names, and there are a lot of parents who think they're fucking hilarious, and it's a bummer. It's
really?
A real bummer. Dude, do you know how many kids I've seen with the middle name Danger? Like,
that's bad.
It's like every third fucking kid.
You're naming your kid after something from Austin Powers? Yeah.
Why don't you just...
Because guess why? Because I'm reading undergraduate admission stuff, so all these kids were born in like 99, 2000.
Right.
So they all, their names are all Austin Powers jokes.
Do you know that scene where he gets the penis pump and says that's not his bag,
baby Smith. Yeah,
that
why
sort of thing.
Yeah, no, there's
bad.
A kid named Fat Bastard. It's awful.
Why at that point, just why not make a kid's middle name just a full line from the movie Anchorman? Just make it like make his name like Jack San Diego. It means a whale's vagina.
My name's Mike. Mike Goldsmith, once it hits your lips, it's so good, Johnson.
Yeah. The name's
Dave
60%
of the
time.
If I'm still reading applications in 3 years, I bet I'll get some because it came out in 2003. So
yeah.
I'm definitely going to get like James Sex Panther Monroe.
Yeah, yeah.
That just escalated quickly.
Jonathan Borat voice, very nice Jenkins.
somebody pointed out, and I forget, I think it might have been Branson Reese, but if it's not, I apologize, pointed out that there's a major plot hole in The Office, and that plot hole is that there's no way that Michael Scott wouldn't have been super into Anchorman.
You're absolutely right. That is a huge problem. Like, Anchorman cannot exist in the universe of The Office because...
So The Office exists in a universe identical to our universe, but just just Anchorman did not happen. That's the only difference. There are infinite. We live in a multiverse. There's infinite universes, and they're in the one. That's the only thing that's different. And the idea that, like, it's like that Twilight Zone where you go to all the different dimensions, and then you end up in one, and it's like, this seems pretty good. It's kind of like mine. And it's like, anyway, let's watch Anchorman. What's that? No.
That's just the last scene before the credits run in a Family Guy episode somewhere. I don't know. I think it's whatever. Like, I need to know if. I feel like it also, back to the actual name thing, I feel like they think it's funny. Like, if it was something they were doing sincerely, I'd be like, oh, whatever, that's something that's relevant, like, has significance to your family.
Right.
But I
that's
feel
why
like
when
they
I
think
saw
it's
the
funny.
Zany glasses, I was like, I don't like this anymore, because you guys think this is really funny, instead of just celebrating your sincere love for Olive Garden.
They feel like they're definitely going to be the same who, like, bring their baby to bars all the time, and it's just like, you don't get to go to bars. You have a baby.
Like, it's simultaneously better and worse than the people who, like, got tattoos of like a thing to, like, get free stuff from a company, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because at least that you're doing to yourself, but if you're naming your kid, it's like you're kind of bringing an innocent into this whole situation.
At least they're not going full Olive Garden. But but that is the other part of the story, is Olive Garden was like, we're going to send you something. Thank you. Which is probably one of those fast passes you were talking about.
I mean, small price to pay. That's not a bad gambit, honestly. You know, if you get free Olive Garden for life or something like that, you know, it's
that
good
child
deal.
Is going to be so malnourished. They're just going to be full of Alfredo sauce.
All I eat is ravioli, please. You gotta help me.
Just breadsticks all around the house.
Yeah,
everywhere.
I don't even know. I've been to one Olive Garden, and it was as part of one of my pals and I used to do what we called the chain gang, and we would go like once a month to different New York City chain restaurants. So the only time I've been to Olive Garden was the one at like 23rd and 5th, and I don't even remember what I got.
Where else did the chain gang go? What was like the highlight of the chain gang?
I think the one we liked the best was the we went to the Fridays that was all the way downtown.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Olive Garden. We went to Outback. I think Outback was probably the best one.
Outback rules, dude.
Yeah.
Outback's really good.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I had a friend that worked at Outback, and he always called it Steak World, which always made me laugh.
Steak World?
Yeah.
We used to go...
I gotta go over to Steak World.
Yeah. It was weird. Like, I mean, they didn't have them close to where I grew up, but when we would go on vacation in Florida, they had them, so it was like a huge treat, and which is...
Hell yeah.
And it was like, oh man, we're going Outback. Can't wait to get... And I would get like the... You know, like way too much food, and it would have been, and then like the inevitable complaints about like, oh, the steak's getting smaller every time we come here, and a lot, and then I think we just kind of stopped going.
Yeah, I feel like chain restaurants like that, like I've only been to Olive Garden once, but I've been to Carrabba's a couple times, which is, I think they just swap the name out so they aren't as
good. I think Carrabba's slightly higher tier than.
Yeah.
Carrabba's, fun fact, is named after the guy from Dashboard Confessional.
Oh, there
is that true? I don't know enough about Dashboard.
Yeah, he's actually not true.
His last name is Carrabba.
Yeah, he's the Carrabba's heir.
But
it's actually
like,
named after the guy who they chose instead of Jesus Christ. They just fucked up the name.
I feel like those places have some sort of special formula for their food where like you can leave hungry or you can leave sick and uncomfortably full. Like from one bite you're like, ooh, I'm still a little hungry, have a little more, and then like one forkful will send you immediately into like, I feel like shit and I'm fuller than I've ever been in my life.
I'm sure that that's all planned out. They probably have insane amounts of data science going on about that, which is cool. I like to be manipulated.
They're watching
like
us, man.
Hell yeah.
That's why I put tape over the cameras on all of my breadsticks, a little piece of tape. They can't watch me.
Well, I think that's a good place to...
Yeah, I'm fading fast. I'm only going to get weirder.
All right, here we go.
Number 3.
All right, so over the weekend... I don't know when it came out, but there was a something called, which I learned about from this, Recoil, which is a magazine billed as the ultimate firearms destination for the gun lifestyle. So this is basically Gunfucker magazine.
Yeah.
The gun lifestyle is an amazing phrase.
It's like if you ever tried to put your dick in your gun, this is for you, right? This is basically it.
What sort of lifestyle would you say you lead? Gun, probably.
Welcome to gun world.
My hobbies are gun.
A degenerate lifestyle, unlike the virtuous lifestyle of gun.
Yeah,
these are guys who are like, I live the way of the gun. It's like, okay, nothing you do is as cool, dude. You're gonna blow your dick off when you see a black guy playing music too loud or whatever.
I just feel like I spend too much time at work and I don't have enough time for gun.
My parents told me to follow my dreams, and my dream is gun. Okay. So this is a profile of one of our more colorful recent members of the government currently in power, Sebastian Gorka. It's called probably a regular segment called Zeroed In, which I think means you have someone in the crosshairs.
Yeah,
which is a weird way to talk about
they interview and then assassinate you.
Yeah. There's use of metaphors.
Yeah, their interview is just any last words, and then at the end of the interview, they shoot you in the head.
Right. The microphone is shaped like a gun, So they put a just hold a gun shaped thing up to your mouth and you talk into it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, continue.
Like you're on the
phone.
Have
you guys seen the newest season of the Maria Bamford show?
No.
Lady Dynamite?
Not yet.
There's a good joke with a gun that dispenses banaka, and the guy puts it in his mouth and they're like, whoa! And he's like, what? I thought it'd be fun. People like guns now. Yeah. It's really good.
That's good.
So I assume this interview took place, at least initially, while Gorka was looking out the window of his home and just a red dot kind of hit his forehead as the phone rang.
That's how you know you're being tapped by Recoil for a press release.
It's like, we can see you. It's like, very good.
They roll up a letter and shoot it out of a gun through your mail slot just to walk out. There's like a smoking piece of paper in your, you know, front hallway that's like, you've been chosen
to be
interviewed.
And it just says bang on it like a cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. That's how they ask every question is with a different gun that unfurls a sign with a question on it.
All right, so this profile is honestly like, it's like a treasure trove. It's the kind of thing that like, I don't want to give these people clicks. You know, I don't really care. Who cares, right? But it's really funny. It's really insane. I'll just read a little bit of a starter passage here. When Sebastian Gorka went to work on January 21st, 2017, things were looking good. He scored a great parking spot for his Mustang. First of all, there's multiple videos of him not being able to parallel park. So that presumably took a long time, which is very funny. Stepped out into Washington, D.C.'s crisp morning air, straightened his tie, I assume did something with his gigantic head, and relished the opportunity he'd been given as he strode towards the White House. It's like he was ready to make America great again, and then just cut like a few paragraphs. 7 months later, Gorka saw his own efforts to protect the United States from radical Islamic terrorism thwarted as the establishment rallied like a body battling an infection and expelled the outsiders.
So, I just watched Osmosis Jones for the first time.
So now, apparently, like as a way of saying he's like a hero who's trying to do the right thing, they referred to him as like an infection. He's like a foreign body that was
he's
expelled.
He's like a fucking, like a snot rocket out of the nose of America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our hero.
So, but he's taking this all in stride, and now he's a bunch of bragging about how we won, you know,
Sebastian
blah, blah, blah.
Gorka, the equivalent of someone coughing directly into your mouth.
Right.
That's the vibe.
So there's a bunch of pictures of him in like, you know, military school with wearing suspenders and stuff and talking about, you know, how he was a troop and all that stuff.
Sure.
And then his picture of his dad, who I think was the one who was in that like Nazi sympathizing group.
The like Hungarian nobility.
Yeah, like the Vitenzi Rend or something like that. So that's cool. So we got that guy in there. And then some photos of him. And there's a sweet James Bond like picture of him. Holding an assault rifle,
like a movie still.
Yeah, with his like in sunglasses in like the snow with gloves on and like his like jacket collar up, which is actually pretty good.
It's a good picture of him because it like obscures most of his face and head,
most of his giant head.
You don't notice that it's like, you know, looks like
he should make this his Bumble picture or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, because it's like on. It shows the fewest square feet of Gorka face.
Yeah,
I love the idea of Gorka on dating sites. That's fun to think about.
If anybody wants to catfish,
it's hard to imagine anybody.
Just see what happens.
Like if you could peg anyone as like being single for life, I feel like he would be somebody you'd put on the list.
His like just egregiously thick goatee that's just like looks completely painted on.
He looks great.
It's like it's like if someone hacked a video game character creator and there's like a like facial hair thickness and you just took it off the charts.
Yeah.
You know, so much that like the hair started growing back into his face.
Right.
Like fuck it all up.
And so we have all these interviews about how amazing it was working at the White House and how he's been a troop and all that stuff or whatever. He loves America. And then depending on the news source, you resigned or were fired. Resigned. It's all there in my letter to the president. You can read it. Breitbart.com. So that's cool. So there's all this stuff. It's basically like a weird self-serving interview. There's a picture of him where he looks like this is probably what he would pick as his Bumble profile, but he looks like, as people have pointed out on Twitter, he looks like McLovin because he has
with the fur vest.
Yeah, with the suede vest.
Yeah. The suede,
But really, like, so, and there's a bunch of there's like a whole like dossier about him and stuff. So, apparently, he's married with grown kids, so I lose on that one. So he got me. Yeah, he's fair enough.
His poor wife. I really like the idea of like I'm just thinking about him saying like, oh, I resigned. You can read it on Breitbart. I like the idea of like. just sending Breitbart your resignation letter from any job.
Yeah.
Just,
well, because you want, I mean, it's a clear play to be like, hey, you get that traffic. Hey, what do you think about hiring your boy, Sebastian?
And I hope
two grown kids, by the way. Can you imagine if this guy was your dad?
I'm just hoping that me and Kath are on the same page when you said his poor wife, because you're imagining squeezing three Sebastian Gorka heads out of your.
Oh, Jesus.
Just rip you apart.
Just those huge macrocephalic giant noggins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I that's the thing. Like, his kids probably can't even hide, because, like, those seem like some dominant genes.
Yeah.
They all try to walk through the doorway at the same time, and their heads get stuck.
They all bonk into each other and fall down in different directions.
Yeah.
So this is like, there's like some trivia here about him for like the true, I guess they do this for every person they interview. It's like the cheesy kind of like, you know, dogs or cats, favorite movie, you know. For the Gorka heads, which gun is
your favorite?
The Gorka gigantic
gun or
heads.
No gun? Good gun.
I'm gonna go with gun. Favorite? I mean, like, this is how these people are basically aliens to me. Favorite firearm: short-barreled Krebs custom AK, chambered in 7.62x39. Favorite AK magazine? You guys know what's your favorite AK magazine?
I love them all. I can't, you know, I think they're all great.
Mine is Recoil, the magazine for the gun lifestyle.
I mean, no, we're not talking.
I know, I was making a joke.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm very.
See, magazine has two meanings.
No,
Patrick.
It's also the name of a street in New Orleans where I was.
It's true.
Okay, so yeah, well,
boy, words really can do a lot.
Yep.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Next week on
Reading Rainbow.
Well, I was just surprised because he and I actually have the same favorite AK magazine. Mine is also the original barrel Bulgarian 10-ring. Or U.S. Palm AK-30. It's hard, so hard to pick. You know, there's so many choices.
Oh, my God. You guys have so much in common.
It's really pretty crazy. But so you get down to the, and then this is where the real money shot here is his everyday carry, which is like Life Hacker does, like that what's in your bag type thing. You know, like how do you get things done?
There should be a fucking ban on don't say passport. Everybody says passport, and it's lame and it makes you look shitty.
It's like, where are you going?
Yeah.
It's uncreative.
That's danger. Don't carry your passport around. That's why I don't have one, because I carried it in my bag and got stolen. It's a bad idea.
Now somebody's doing crimes as Eli, and that's, well, that's his choice.
I hope they're good at it.
So there's a picture of like a table with all his stuff, you know, like if he like emptied his, you know, bag in his pockets or whatever, and he's got pistol Glock 29, pistol 2 Smith & Wesson MP 9mm full size, so he carries two pistols. That's the life this guy's living. Just flashlight, fucking Surefire 6P, and a thin pen light for polite work, whatever that means. two guns, two flashlights. This is a normal man
that's
we're
so
talking
dangerous.
About here.
Just his cargo pants must be very saggy.
This is the most tactical man that's ever lived. That's what we're looking at.
Just right. I had a vivid memory of being in like ninth grade and wearing those cargo pants that zip off and having a TI 83 plus calculator in one of the cargo pockets, and it would like swing around my leg every time I walked. Man, I sucked. That was so shitty.
That is like the most high school boy look, is
it's
super heavy
high
calculator
boy.
In flimsy cargo pant pocket.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, it was like, oh, it was so bad. Yeah, the other thing, I just love, like, can you imagine him like falling down a flight of stairs?
Both guns going
up? Yeah, so it's like the fucking 4th of July. Just like.
the bullets ricocheting around a stairwell that he's falling down.
Well, fortunately, if that does happen to him, he also carries a tourniquet that he can deploy with one hand.
Thank goodness.
This is like, I mean, like, think about like the idea of you're getting ready to go out. What, you get like your wallet, your keys, your phone, like your headphones.
Your tourniquet.
And then you, like, imagine a world in which everyone has a tourniquet.
Yeah,
like,
that are you going to amputate? So it's because he has a tourniquet because he constantly shoots himself
right,
in the leg.
I mean, like, what?
Well, that's the thing. Is like talking about him falling down the stairs. Like, that's a very real risk for someone with that weird a center of gravity because his head.
Yeah,
it's something he has to worry about.
He's basically a toddler at all times. That's his. Yeah. That's what he, yeah,
yeah.
But he's got the tourniquet, and then if in case he needs to do any amputating, he's got a CRKT Hisatsu, which is under the category blade. So it's like a switch.
What is your chosen blade?
Yeah. So he respects.
I bet Gorka watches Fortune Fire. So,
I'm sure he does. It makes me sad.
So he respects the way of the gun, but he also respects the way of the blade. So you have to give him credit.
Forgive
for that.
Forgive me, master.
He respects the old school.
But that teleports, I feel like that's, behind you.
I feel like the always having a knife thing is like it's like a kind of a dad thing. It's like a strain of a dad thing.
It's a type of old dude. Yeah.
Well, I have friends who are my age who like moved out to the suburbs and like they just always have one of those like. I mean, you can't carry a knife like that in New York. Like you get like it's illegal, but it's one of those just like fold out knives, not like a switchblade or anything like that. But and they just have it, and it's like, well, just think of what you can need it for. I was like, I don't know what I would use my keys probably, like cut like a thread. Like what are we talking about here?
I think they inevitably
find a use for it. Like that, like they create a scenario. Like they find a way to justify the knife.
Yeah, I have a couple friends in Michigan who like carry a knife on them, and it actually does come in handy.
Like, are you cutting down your Christmas tree like constantly?
Yeah.
Like what is the
trimming
like,
it? You gotta trim it.
I got that twine. I gotta cut.
Also, do you want to know what I was really hoping the contents of one of his pockets would be? I was hoping that one of his pockets is just filled with Fun Dip, but like loose, not in a packet.
Just the sugar.
He just has a pocket full of Fun Dip sugar, and he licks his hand and puts it.
Oh,
in
he
there.
Doesn't. He doesn't carry the
the
lick'em
stick.
The
no, he
stick.
Licks his hand and then shoves it in his pocket and pulls it out. Fun gets, dip and sucks on it.
He gets really bummed out when he confuses his blade pocket with his Fun Dip pocket and cuts his finger.
He licks his hand and stabs it.
He has like a pocket protector just because he has Fun Dip in there. So it can just go from suit to suit.
Yeah. He has a little vial like in the 70s. Like he can dip instead of Coke, it's Fun Dip. Just blast some Fun Dip whenever he wants.
So, and then two more things here. This is the nerd one here. Reference. I never go anywhere without my copy of the Constitution. The owner's manual to the greatest nation on God's earth.
I bet the guy interviewing him just like came when he said that.
I just have a copy of the Second Amendment printed out. That's the only one. First Amendment and the Second Amendment. First Amendment so I can say Nazi stuff and also racist stuff and just say it's First Amendment. And the second one because I have two guns on me right now. Yeah. And so like the thing like... Oh, and here's the only thing about that I found him to be particularly relatable. He has a USB battery charger for his phone that he carries. Look, we're all extremely online.
He's
people.
Just like us.
Yeah, he's like us. That's relatable. But otherwise, you know, here's the other thing. Like he lives in like Virginia. He worked in D.C. He works presumably still in D.C. in some like you know jerk off think tank or whatever, like the MAGA you know pack or whatever. Like you can't carry guns in D.C. There's no concealed carry. So. This everyday carry is bullshit because he spent the whole first part of this article trumpeting how he's getting it done in Washington,
and also you to work like in Washington and those sort of buildings. Like my parents worked there, you are constantly going between different buildings, each of which has a very extensive security.
He did get like
metal detectors.
Like you would have to be like constantly going through security.
I mean, he was in the news getting
with
dinged
your fucking bleed.
At least once he got dinged for trying to bring a gun on a plane and be like, I forgot, you know, like whatever.
I'm an air marshal, according to me. Let me on the plane.
I love the idea of like somebody like he's like ready in case someone tries to cut him in line at Pret. Like that's like his life.
Yeah.
He thinks he's ready
he for
to
sure doesn't
take
go
down
it. Like, just because all of them, Aubon, Pan, Pret, he's like, no, I only go to Fuddruckers. I eat lunch at Fuddruckers every day. He doesn't use the knife that Fuddruckers gives him. He uses their fork, but his blade. He
his
takes
blade,
out his,
yeah.
like, tactical knife.
Now the comments here are generally positive. The recoil readers are generally, they're all coming cross-posted from Facebook.
The recoil reader.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of them.
The recoil... internet not even the people who read, but the people who read it enough that they feel compelled to comment on it. That is a special subgroup of society.
So here's this guy. Agree or disagree with his politics, he drops some great wisdom on firearms. So it's like, I'm above politics. I'm just guns, man. That's all I care about.
Yeah, I don't care about any political issue. I'm a gun lifestyler.
love this.
Don't come to me with your political petty arguments, man. I just want to sit back and zap a few bulls. That's a shorthand for bullets that guy uses. Launch a couple bulls out of my old sidearm, baby.
It sounds like you know a lot about the gun lifestyle.
I know
like
a lot about
the way of the way of the gun.
Yeah.
There's another love this guy. He is an asset to our great country. Cool. Thanks, man. Let's see. But the best one is the most recent comment just says, Gorka is a joke, period. So that's...
got him.
Bazinga, we got it, folks. Yeah. So that's just a quick rundown. I think it's worth the read because it is totally insane. It probably would make you mad because he probably gets in a lot of his stupid like fake news jibes and all that stuff. But you know, it's interesting when you let someone who has an incredibly delusional high self opinion of themselves like he does, you know, on like what he's about, like him, and somebody just really kind of lets it breathe and just kind of feeds into it for like an extended interview,
yeah,
you get a lot of quality stuff out of it. You know?
Not asking.
And it's the kind of the interview would look very like very similar if someone was doing it to make fun of him, like if somebody was doing a put on, you know, like an extended Daily Show thing. It would be exactly
It probably wouldn't even be as good because he'd feel like they were blowing smoke up his ass. But like that guy was legitimately like, so what do you carry? Like, perfect way to get someone like that to just shoot themselves in the foot the way they probably will in the future, literally.
Correct. Yeah. But again,
you gotta ask him the important questions like, sir, do you wear a salad bowl as a hat? Please.
Cool. All right. So let's move along here.
Number two.
So number two, I haven't seen any news stories about this, so I don't know how widespread this phenomenon is.
Daily Dot covered it a little bit.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So I guess it started with at least in our sort of social circle, with two New York comedians, Marsha Belsky, right? And who was the other one?
Ray Sani.
So these two comedians just posted jokingly on Facebook like you do, something about how men are scum or men are trash or whatever, because no offense, present company. No, I was going to say present company excluded, but like, I don't know if that's totally true. So just, you guys are all right, but men are kind of scum. And
duly
they
noted.
They posted that, and then Facebook banned them. They got banned for hate speech. So they got banned for hate speech for saying men are scum, and then a bunch of other people in solidarity with them also posted men are scum, like, hey, these people got banned for saying men are scum, so let me just say men are scum. And then they got banned. So this is like apparently a systemic thing that if you report someone complaining about men to Facebook, they will take it seriously as hate speech.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure if it's a mix of bans and them they just remove the post. Most of the ones I've seen recently are just like they remove the post.
There were a few people. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're also pointing, I think, like, maybe, but there's part of the beginning of it was, like, Ray posting screenshots of a conversation that, like, no, conversation is generous. It's just a dude, like, messaging her, like, the N-word a bunch of times and, like, just genuine hate speech shit. And she reported it, and they were like, this actually, you know, doesn't violate our guidelines or something.
Yeah.
And then the men are scum thing, they've, like, take it down every time. It's insane. Yeah, it's like this is your hypothesis.
Well, I mean, this is something you can see. I mean, you can see across a lot of the social media platforms is that this. I mean, it doesn't really happen on Instagram because there's not like words really. You know, and I feel like it's not as vibrant an argument platform.
There's not as much like discourse on Instagram.
But
it's mostly
like,
just people being horny.
Yeah, but but it's like, I mean, especially, you know, Twitter and Facebook, Twitter super especially, but like. It seems like, I mean, first of all, trolls are good at sort of weaponizing, you know, basically make people live by, and that this is their whole thing right now. Is like, and it's like the Saul Alinsky thing. It's like make them live against, you know, make them live up to the rules that they set up. You know, so
yeah.
So the second you make you can't use hate speech, like you can just weaponize a bunch of nerds who will just all report something as hate speech, and then like either the algorithm will just immediately take it offline, and then somebody has to deal with it, or you know, I think at this point, it you know, whether it's the low level people, intermediate people, or something like that, it seems to me that there have to be some percentage of those people are sympathetic to the sort of, at least like the James Damore, you know, sort of, why is everyone mad at me, you know, type, you know, like, oh, I'm just said that statistics that women are not, you know, that like. Or just straight up like crypto fascists, like, you know, like 4chan, like shithead guys are working at these places. It's not clear, but like because they're all tech people, you know, it's sort of you have like a sort of Revenge of the Nerds type situation anyway, because like those people who all work in those jobs. So,
yeah,
I guess,
but like I know a lot of the people working at Facebook are just like kind of low level contract employees that are just like people like me, like just kind of, you know, fail daughters.
But the ones who make like the ban decisions, like that kind of stuff.
And I think so. Yeah, I think it goes to like kind of low level contract employees.
But it's still, I think a lot of them, I mean, it's still people who are in tech, which is not, you know, is like
that's true, which is
skewed
a health
male
game.
And is like has it's a lot of problems with sexism itself. But yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely it's like the closest thing it reminds me of is that whatever it was when those emails got leaked, the guy like the ghostwriter from Milo that leaked all that shit that was like, oh, all these prominent, you know, like left voices are actually secretly.
Right.
It's like people like that. They're just, this is like the same.
Well, they just thought it was funny because it was a game to them. You know, they didn't, there were no consequences and it was just kind of like, oh yeah, ha ha ha. Like, but I'm just trying to imagine somebody who like is not sympathetic politically to this point of view that sees somebody say someone else got banned for saying men are scum, so men are scum, and says that is in fact hate speech.
Yeah.
Right? Is that like not, yeah. That to me
is like. It's just like, I just think it's so funny because like that's such a, like, I know that that like has sort of like a political like inflection to it now because of like all the sexual harassment stuff and everything like that, but like, women have been bitching about men forever. Like, why is this?
Yeah.
Like, people, like, women have been like, oh, men are scum for, like, a very long time. Like, pre the sexual revolution, pre, like, any of that. Like, it's just very silly to me that that is even considered, like, a political stance.
Yeah.
Like,
and then there's suggestions or people saying it's, like, it's a bot. Like, there's some sort of bot that just reads this sort of phrase and just automatically deletes the post or automatically takes action, which is like, I feel like that's not it feels like that's not true because it's just like too squirrely and weird. The other thing is like, I get, but also people just, it's kind of like, to me, I think it should have gotten maybe more coverage because it's a very weird thing. There's like a one small article in the Daily Dot, but people are still doing the posting the men are scum thing. And I think at this point it's just going to get deleted. That's like clear. I don't know what the, you know,
I did an experiment today to see because I saw that everyone was getting deleted for saying men are scum.
Yeah.
So I said, I give men 1.5 stars on Yelp, and I'm waiting.
Well, the other thing is that, I mean, some of these people, I know Libby Watson had a problem with this too. Like her Facebook is like friends only, I think. So like, that implies that she had to be reported because nobody else could see it by one of her
friends.
That's
the thing. Like who is reporting all this? I mean, I guess everybody's like mad uncles who had a bad time at Thanksgiving.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of
people that report it.
I mean, a lot of comedians do, like, they accept anyone's friend request because it's like a weird like fan building.
That's
thing.
True.
And they also,
that's the worst is like, I like look up someone on Facebook and they have like 200 mutual friends with me, and I'm like, hey, do you guys know this person? They're friend requesting me, and everyone's like, I don't know.
The best thing is when you get like clearly a fake account that like is like a woman in a bikini. And you have like 15 mutual friends. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
you
nice.
You just see who of your friends are just marked.
It's like, you gotta get like, come on, like just have some filter on this.
Yeah, that was like born yesterday.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, she loves my comedy, right? Yeah. That's what this is about.
Oh,
it's
you're
about
talking
my comedy.
You're talking about my friend Galishla from Novosibirsk. Yeah, your best friends.
Yeah,
she owns 2 bikinis and no other clothes.
I've given her my social security number. We are about to be wed.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of dudes that like, they have this stupid thing of like, they see that and they're like, they're the ones who are like, you can't, the type of people who are like, reverse racism. You can't say it's something white
right.
people
Imagine
do.
If you said black people were scum.
Right. Like, I mean, it's 100% that those people.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And now I think that at this point, a lot of them are like, well, I can't even comment with, you know, the truth because they're going to call in their, the troops on me, the squad, social justice warrior. It's like, so I think they just report it because it's like, nobody knows that you reported something and it's their little, fucking sad.
I mean, have you ever been in that? It is pretty satisfying to report somebody.
Never on Facebook, but yeah, on Twitter.
Yeah,
definitely.
I've done it on Twitter. I mean, it is kind of a snitch move, but like, it does make you feel sort of good.
Yeah, but if somebody's being shitty, like, to people that you, I mean, I don't usually do it because of stuff that's directed at me. It's usually because it's some, you know, like some, you,
right,
it's almost,
like if somebody's just being,
it's
really
almost always a lady that's getting harassed.
Turns out,
but
it happens a lot.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. The whole thing is weird because, like, I mean, I guess there's still some people who use Facebook, like, in some meaningful way. I don't know. It's just, like, it's weird to me to think that you would, like, people do, like, serious posts on Facebook, I guess, still. I don't know. I mean, that to me just seems like an even worse cesspool than Twitter for arguing about stuff. Because it's like the comment section.
The other thing was that I was talking to a non-comic person I know about Facebook, and they were like, no one's on Facebook anymore. I think to a certain extent, it's like Facebook is literally just comedians promoting their shows to each other. Nobody else is still on there. Everyone's like just only on Instagram now or whatever.
Parents are on there.
Yeah.
That's who's on there.
Well, I'm not friends.
It's like older people.
I'm not friends with my parents. don't
You're
know.
Not?
No.
I'm friends with my mom. My dad will not go near any social media because he's smart and better than the rest of us because it's awful. But, yeah, I think parents are on Facebook a lot. I think a lot of people's parents use it very actively. But, like, the age, for people our age, I don't think non-comedians use it. I don't know what they use, though.
I think it's Instagram.
They just go on Instagram?
This is just a full, like, what are the kids up to?
Yeah.
No, like, yeah, too deep.
Hello, fellow kids. Yeah. But look, I think we can all agree that the van is bullshit. It doesn't we're not going to come to any results. But I do think there are forces at work at these companies that are not being intellectually honest. And that's bullshit. But
listeners, post men or scum. See what happens.
But it's too bad. We're all going to keep using these fucking sites because we're in a situation where we can't stop. So, cool. Well, we cracked it. We solved it, guys. We did it.
Save the day.
All right. And...
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
That's right, folks. It's the grocery shopping Nazi.
It's the fucking dog shit.
Did you guys know that Nazis eat food?
I
also eat food.
I had heard tale.
Isn't that crazy?
I heard tale of these. The Nazis were human beings that breathe and eat food and have watch television sometimes and have you know are able to communicate with other humans. But it was important that the New York Times send a reporter to Huber Heights, Ohio, to interview this guy Tony Hovater about why he is a Nazi. That's cool. Or a white. Whatever he calls himself, who cares?
It just really blew me away to know that Nazis are people too. I think if there's one group of people we have to convince another group of people are people too about, I would not say it's the non-Nazis. Yeah.
We wouldn't want to dehumanize the Nazis or anything.
Yeah, like if I had to pick one group who had to learn not to dehumanize people, and I had to choose between people who weren't Nazis and people who are. I don't know if I would make the same choice as the New York Times.
I think you know, and it's interesting because the Times, you know, I know that they're different sections of the paper, but presumably there's somebody who's in charge who's sort of overseeing the whole voice of the paper. I think it's good that they do this kind of, hey, let's just get a slice of life piece about a guy in Ohio who thinks that there should be a white ethno state, or you know, to put it the gentlest possible terms, but also run an op-ed decrying people protesting on campuses because that stifles free speech. That's cool.
Yeah, you know? Those are real good timing putting those together.
College kids are all maniacs, they're destroying free speech in this country somehow. Even though like nobody would listen to college kids' opinions about literally anything else, but we're obsessed with what they're doing about who they're protesting on campus.
Yeah, was it? I wish I could remember who it was, but there was a good tweet somebody had. It was like, of course, the first like piece the New York Times will run that's like complimentary of a millennial is about a Nazi. The first time they've ever been cool with our
Why
generation.
Aren't millennials buying diamond swastikas?
Yeah.
It's really, you know, it's like the Times, and I think this is part of like the problem they've had and they're reckoning with, and all media is reckoning with, because all media, especially political media, is all in the Beltway, right? It's all like up northeast, you know, and it's all the people who have basically been, you know, excluding like the, you know, but in terms of like the political class, they just got a big fat finger in the eye in, you know, last year. And so they're like, what the hell did we miss? What are we, you know, so that's why we get a different article about, you know, closed Factoryville, Ohio, and how the people who supported Trump still support Trump, you know, every week, you know.
Yeah.
At some point, it's like, who fucking cares? You know, the articles don't, they never say anything. And this is like the worst example of it, where it's just this guy who they write a whole article about him and they only mention briefly 4chan, but it's like, it's pretty clear that the internet is playing a major role in what's happening to these people.
Well, he's saying like normies and shit, right?
He's like dismissing the fact that the internet had a lot to do with it. He's like, I already thought all this because I read books. Because they won't want to sound like idiots. It's like, oh, memes didn't do this to me or whatever. Because, if you think of yourself as like an intellectual, you can't imagine that somebody yelling the same thing at you online over and over again made you think a certain thing. But, like they write these pieces and it's just like, well, what do we learn? Right. And a lot of the time there's no introspection at all. But the best thing about this piece is that they sent this guy, Richard Fawcett. I don't know if he pitched it or whatever, but then which ran simultaneously with the article, and apparently the national editor has written a response that I haven't seen. Apparently that went up since the article originally ran, but at the same time as the article itself, the author of the article, the reporter, wrote an article that basically said, "Yeah, I didn't really get anything out of this." The headline is, "I interviewed a white nationalist and fascist. What was I left with?" It's like, hey, maybe don't run the article then. If it has no,
so he wrote like a meandering profile of a Nazi. That was so meandering, he had to write a second meandering article with no point to it about how the first one had no point.
What makes a man start
fires? Thank you
for
your contribution, sir.
Because the only interesting thing about that person is that they're a Nazi, and you don't even want to address that or
you're not talking about that. It's so strange, and it's so like, I kind of understand why they think that these pieces are important, and it's like you said, it's because these people are Beltway people, or they're people that live in Brooklyn, or whatever, and the idea of a Nazi in Ohio is, like, exotic to them, or intriguing in some way, or, like, you want to figure out how they got that way.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of understand that, but, like, you have to think about the implications of writing an article like this when you're not writing a profile about how, like, you know, Antifa is just like you. DSA is just like you. Like, you don't do that.
Right.
So you can't just keep doing it to Nazis. It's gonna make you look bad.
I mean, the idea that this guy is just discovering, or they're just finally interrogating the idea, like the banality of evil, like that's like no shit. Like, these are people.
No fucking shit. Yeah. Like, we've talked about this before, but it's like, yeah, they like good TV. The Nazis liked art. Like, it's not a novel idea.
Yeah,
we
talked about their unicorns.
Unicorns also.
Yes.
Yeah,
they have good taste. That doesn't mean they're not calling for a white ethnostate. It doesn't matter.
It's also like, I hate this shit. This is like the fucking favorite talking point of everybody now, where they're like Nazis, but they're like, oh no, it's good. You know, you got to hear every side. It's free speech. It's like Nazism specifically is like such a horrific. Like, it's not somebody being like, oh, I have some kind of bad thoughts about race. It's someone that's saying, like, the millions of people that were murdered, A, I think it's good that they're dead. B, I'm disappointed that it didn't continue. Like, that is the stance you're taking. People act like supporting Nazi. Like, I got in a big argument with somebody about this, because it's like that sort of thing. It's like, oh, if you see someone wearing a swastika, you think you should just punch them just because of their beliefs? It's like, yes, you should, because that belief... is not, like I was saying, I was like, even if I saw someone walking down the street, like with a shirt that said, like, I hate Jews, that is like, if you're supporting Nazis, if you're swastika, you're supporting the violent removal and extinction. It is a,
right.
It's a statement
it's
of
a
violence.
Violent ideology.
Yeah.
You are condoning violence by your support of that belief system. Therefore, violence should be meted out against you.
Yeah, when you have a fucking swastika on, you're not saying, I believe in, you know, like equal-ended discussion of multiple things. You're saying, I believe the ultimate solution for our world is that we should be exterminating people.
Some would say a final solution.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, people are like, well, they're not being violent, and I'm like, a swastika is a statement of violence. It's
yeah, like
violent
what do you
act.
Think they believe if they're not being violent?
Yeah.
What is that?
And then it's even worse than if they're just some fucking idiot jackass that's just like, oh no, just like they're just trying to be like weird, edgy, like that. Like,
yeah, well,
like this is but,
that person deserves a smack so they can stop being such a lord.
Jesus Christ! It's like, I don't know why. How this got, this is just me genuinely very angry. There's like no jokes in it, but it's like, I don't know how Nazism somehow got lumped in with, like, you know, yeah, this like fucking, oh, think piece, like, oh, op-ed. You don't let a Nazi write an op-ed because you know what their op is, and it's that people should be dead that are alive.
No, what's interesting is, like, you can actually, there's actually a very clear, like, opposite, like, good way to do this. Because, like, what this article does is, like, oh, how'd this, like, seemingly normal guy become, like, a Nazi? And then he just asks the guy, right? And like his wife, like,
you're giving
who was also
that
a Nazi.
That is the definition of giving somebody a platform.
And it's like, and it's like, well, it's like, and also like, you're not going to get it's the most obvious unreliable narrative problem in the world, right? Like, there's other psychological issues clearly that are percolating in this person, right? So there's an article, and I think it's The Atlantic, but it's about the guy who founded the Daily Stormer, that like 5'4" Andrew Anglin guy,
mm-hmm.
which is like much more interesting because first of all, the guy like cut him off like midway through like the process. But then he went to like his hometown. He went from like Columbus, Ohio, interviewed like people that he grew up with and stuff. And so you're getting a picture of who this guy is through someone else's eyes and not through him.
His own perception of himself as a fucking Ubermensch.
Quoting Seinfeld and sitting at Panera. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. Maybe the public editor or not the national editor has some kind of, you know, like, well, we fucked up, guys. Sorry, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
But
you
also
still ran the article, dumbass.
There's also this, like, level of, it's like, yeah, because you sent, like, a white Anglo reporter to go talk to him where there are reporters you have that, like, do that. You want to do a fucking article? Send a Jewish reporter, send, like, any non-white reporter to go interview him. And the fucking question is, why do you think I should be dead? And why is that going to benefit the world for me to be dead? Like, it's insane. I mean, I'm not saying anything anyone else hasn't already said, but it's, the whole thing is just insane. It's like, that's the thing is, it's, yeah, like you said, it's his beltway. Like, they're like thinking of this as like discussing it and, you know, swirling brandy in a snifter of like,
right,
oh,
it
would be curious to go talk
of,
to
like,
one of them. Like,
it's all a fucking game to those people. It's all a battle of ideas. And that's the thing is, like, when it's only a battle of ideas, there's no harm in considering other people's ideas. But there are some ideas that you shouldn't consider because they affect people.
Yeah.
And the idea of calling for a white ethnostate and genociding people is an idea that we should not even hypothetically consider. Like, it's just too fucked up. So yeah, fuck this guy. Fuck the guy who wrote it.
The mea culpa was not great. It's just a thing about like, well, what we were trying to do is shed more light. And it's okay, way to go, guys. You did it.
Like, I don't know. I have friends who like don't really see what the big deal is with this article because they're like, what do you want? Like, the New York Times to say Nazis are problematic while they're like talking to this guy. It's like, no, I want them to not talk to this guy.
Right.
If they want to talk about the rise of white supremacy in our culture, you don't, again, like you said, you don't ask one guy about how he came to think that because that's not the way to find out.
That's a way to give that guy a free space
to advertise his hateful fucking ideology.
And they posted a link to the website of the Traditional Workers Party where you can buy the Nazi armband, which is like put out as like a, you know, they posted like a National Socialist Party LARP, you know, piece or whatever.
Perfect.
But like, you can,
great.
Like, the New York Times linked to that website. It's like, you could have just not linked to the website. That's like,
yeah.
I don't know what, I'm sure it's New York Times style, but like, come on, guys. Maybe make an exception.
And the other thing is, there are like maybe 100 of those people in that group.
Well, that's the other
like,
thing. Exactly.
Think about all these like people on the left that are organizing in the thousands that the New York Times just completely ignores.
I don't know why you want to make them seem
like,
bigger.
And if you want to use this dumb fucking argument of it's like, oh, it's all for the exploration of the idea or whatever. It's like, what could possibly have been gained from this article? There is nothing. He's a fucking Nazi. So either you go and he's like whatever cartoon you wanted him to be, where he like eats fucking boot soles and, you know, spits out either he is as cartoonishly bad as I think you'd want him to be, and then your article's like Nazis are still bad, or this where you're like he's actually pretty normal. The best case scenario is no story. And the worst case scenario is you're, you know, saying that like you're like, oh, they're actually pretty good guys, not so bad. It's just
what outcome could
there have been that you were imagining when you did this that it was worth it?
It's a different version of the same shit. It's the dapper Nazi all over again because it's like manners that would make any Midwestern mother proud. You know, it's like, okay, dude.
I think it is also though that like I think the point of it that did not come across because he's talking about something so odious. I think the point of it was supposed to be that banality of evil thing. And the problem is just like, yeah, we fucking know. Like, we knew that. We learned about the banality of evil with the first Nazis.
Right.
Like, that's where that comes from. So we don't need you to keep talking about
There's
it.
24
if you
hours
want to talk about
day.
It, you don't need to talk about individual people and support their ideology.
Hitler loved his dog. I fucking had a dog. I love my dog. I didn't... but I didn't have the fucking mental illness or whatever that could let me love a dog. You actually
bring up a good point. You are very similar to Hitler.
Yeah,
that's
true.
It's time.
I do have the little mustache all the time.
Very well dressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering how we were going to stick the landing getting out of this and maybe trying to be funny again, because that was a little bit of a...
Yeah, that was basically what Kath predicted.
I do want everyone to know, in our Google Doc, we have a Google Doc where we put links. I put this one in and I said, we can talk about the New York Times Nazi, but I think I'm going to get too mad. So...
Yeah,
I apologize.
I'm extremely red and mad, but...
What do you guys think his favorite Seinfeld episode was?
I mean, I'm not going to say Soup Nazi. you're not going to lead me into this.
I mean,
one.
If it's not the contest, come on, man. That's probably the
one about the marble rye. Yeah. Just loves that.
Shut up, you old bag.
But that's also like, you can't like Seinfeld, man.
Right.
That is.
Yeah, that you don't get that. You're not allowed.
That's why I feel like it's this bullshit. Like, a dude needs to get the shit smacked out of him and be like, stop. Do it, whatever this game you're playing.
Quit liking Seinfeld.
Yeah, if you're a Nazi and you're watching Seinfeld, you should be like, ah, scum. That should be, you know, that's, don't be
right,
like,
well, it's like, we were saying it's a game to the people in the Beltway and stuff, but it's also, to some of these people, a game. And yeah. I think that's like what people were saying after Charlottesville is like, the people who this is a game for will hopefully stop, because now they know that this is serious. But
yeah. Well, the problem is when you make all your friends online and that's your community, you're kind of stuck, right? It's hard to kind of like...
Yeah, you hear that, listeners?
Yeah.
Well, that's what it started. All this stuff started as like jokes, unfortunately. It's just right. Like the people that come through. And that's why running this sort of profile is like, there's not people who are going to go out there and, you know, buy that armband immediately. But there are people who have... You know,
I would love to know how many more they sold.
Yeah, that'd be
nice.
Put
it this way. You don't want to run a piece that makes the people, like the worst people in the world, like, yeah, all right, we're in there, baby. You know, like, that's not the result that you want when you're writing this kind of thing.
Simple journalistic rule. When you're about to publish a piece, go, would this piece possibly create a lot more Nazis? And if you say yeah, then maybe kind of, you know, table that one.
Even would it make the existing small number of Nazis happy? That seems like something you can try to avoid.
Yeah. Would this bring joy to a Nazi's life?
The 40,000 that maybe total exist, it's probably not even that. They probably couldn't, I mean, they almost certainly couldn't even fill like a big college stadium, I feel like. But it's cool that we think that they are everywhere. But in subtle ways, they are, I suppose. But these guys are not as big a concern as... But it's cool they get articles written about him. So good.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Clear the air with a fat moon pie. You
know. Moon pie. What a time to be alive.
Also, I enjoy... Apparently, one thing that I didn't foresee happening is that people have been tweeting us so much moon pie shit. Like, pictures of moon pie murals and stuff.
Didn't you say it's the 100-year...
Yeah, somebody tweeted it's like the 100-year anniversary of the moon pie.
Yeah, somebody tweeted a mural at us, moon pie mural.
And then somebody was linking us to their Twitter account, where the moon pie Twitter account's doing one of those, like, edgy social media...
They're zany.
Yeah.
Don't blow this, dude. This could be sponsorship.
Yeah, yeah. Moon pie, give us the money.
What are you thinking?
Yeah.
What is a moon pie? It's like chocolate with frosting in the middle, right?
It's like a
Yeah, I think it's like
yeah, but then it's all dipped in chocolate, isn't it? Or am I thinking of something else?
We're all blowing the sponsorship opportunity. We don't even know what these
things
are.
Well, cuz in New Hampshire in my log cabin, we call those whoopie pies.
Yeah, it's graham crackers with marshmallow in the middle with chocolate dipped in chocolate.
Yeah, I think
that's different and that sounds good as fuck. Moon pie sponsor us.
I think whoopie pies are chocolate on the top and bottom, right?
Yeah.
Whoopie pie. I can't hear that without thinking of whoopie cushion. So it just sounds like a fart. That's what I when I hear whoopie pie.
When you bite in, just a hot it's fart.
It's a big fart.
Out.
That's big, like a juicy fart noise.
That's like a Harry Potter snack. I feel like that's.
Speaking of six-hour bus rides,
a book that's never been more important than it is today.
One of my greatest enemies I've ever met in my life was a woman that was on one of these six like bus rides from DC to New York. We stopped at a gas station or something. And she came out with like two hot dogs smothered in like mustard and relish. And it was just like the most insanely terrible thing to eat in an enclosed space.
It's very rude to eat a hot dog in a closed space.
Two with mustard and relish.
Yeah, it's hard not to make that pornographic. That's,
It's just like so.
Guys. We're going to close on this. Don't eat hot dogs in enclosed spaces.
Yeah,
if you can
really,
avoid it.
Really muff the dismount
there. Especially if you see a very tall man who...
You see a tall, bearded man who sounds like Jasper from The Simpsons.
Eats me.
That's correct.
Yeah. Don't eat a hot dog in front of him.
So I guess, I don't know, plugs. I'm Patty Mo on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Those are the main two. We have Eli and I run a stand-up show every Friday at Karma Lounge in the East Village, like 3rd and 1st. It's at 8:30. It's called Bad Karma. We have a really good lineup every week, this week as usual.
Yeah. I'm same as always, Eli Uden, Chili's Restaurants on Instagram. And then, yeah, I'm on Twitch, too, if you're a video game fan, if you're a gamer, Gamer Fuel, Mountain Dew, etc. That's just my name.
Kath, what do you got up there in the Great White North? Anything?
I don't have any shows up here. Catch me at the Concord, New Hampshire Target. my Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all that is Kath Barbadoro. I have another podcast called Lie, Cheat, and Steal that comes out usually Tuesdays. We're very lazy about day of the week, but it's about weekly, more or less. It's very fun. That's LCS Podcast on Twitter and all that. And then I'll do the plugs for all of us since I'm the last one to go. We are on Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud at What A Time Pod. Please rate, review, subscribe, especially leaving us reviews on iTunes helps us out a lot. We've been very lucky making the like bottom of the top 200 comedy chart the last few weeks. So the more reviews we get, if we can stay on that chart, we'd be super, super stoked.
Yeah.
Yep. And the reviews are fun to read too. We
they're super fun to read.
We get a kick out of them. As long as they're nice. No. Yeah. So that is it for us. It's been fun. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.